Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning, I'm Chris Farrell, in for Angela Davis, and you're listening to NPR News. Glad you could join us today. So, Thanksgiving is a time for food, loved ones, good friends. Thanksgiving is a way to express our gratitude for each other and the gifts of the earth. And in these trying pandemic times, practicing gratitude can lift your spirits in the moment and create a positive outlook for a lifetime. So today I'm speaking with three Minnesotans about the role gratitude plays in our overall health and the health of our relationships with other people and with the planet. And of course, we want to hear from you. Do you have a gratitude practice? Call and share it with us. Are you grateful for something new this year? Has the pandemic, changed your values, changed the way you think about your values? And how will you celebrate the thanks in Thanksgiving? And how about the giving? Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. And now I'd like to bring in our guests. And Annie Pizzella is a professor of psychology at McAllister College in St. Paul. She teaches about positive psychology and the practice of gratitude. Welcome, Annie.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Diane Wilson is the author of the novel The Seed Keeper and several memoirs. She is a Dakota writer living in Schaefer, Minnesota. Hello, Diane.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Mary Jo Kreitzer is the director of the Early Bakken Center for Spirituality and Healing at the University of Minnesota and a professor at the School of Nursing. Welcome, Mary Jo.
Thank you very much. Glad to join you this morning.
So I want to start by asking all three of you a series of questions. I want to start with a really basic one, but I don't want to make an assumption. So what define gratitude? I mean, what is gratitude? I think I know what gratitude is, but you've thought about it a lot. So I'll start off with you, Annie. What is gratitude?
Sure. Yeah. And I've been thinking about this more because I think you're right, Chris, that we might all have this intuitive notion as to what gratitude is. I think our initial thought of it is that it's simply saying thank you. But the science of gratitude is much broader and deeper and I think more interesting than that. Gratitude is uniformly a positive emotion. You know, it's not a feeling of indebtedness, which involves, I think, it could involve a sense of obligation, perhaps, or even guilt. Gratitude is a feeling of contentment. It's happiness. It's hope. It's a feeling of life satisfaction. It's much broader and deeper than simply saying thank you.
And Diane?
That's a really interesting question to start out with. And when I think about gratitude, I think about it in the context of a relationship. So in some way I've received a gift, for example, as a gardener, that gift might be right now the harvest that I've received from the garden. And gratitude for me is that acknowledgement, that appreciation, that expression that that I have received this gift. And so it is a deep thank you that comes out of a place of affection and caring for the gift that I've received.
And Mary Jo?
Well, I'll build on what Annie and Diane said. Definitely gratitude is a positive emotion, but there's actually, Chris, two components to it. One is acknowledging what we're grateful for, the goodness in our lives. And the second is a recognition that the source of our feeling is something outside of ourselves. So as Diane said, it could be the harvest from the garden. It could be a relationship. So those two pieces are important, acknowledgement of what we're grateful for and recognizing that the source is something outside of ourselves. It might be a person, nature, animal, the world.
So how do you practice gratitude? Because, you know, when I was doing my research, that word practicing gratitude came out a lot. So it's more than just having a momentary, because we all have those moments where we feel gratitude, we feel thankfulness, just the way that you're talking about it. But starting with you, Diane, what does it mean to practice gratitude?
Well, for me, it's a personal practice that starts in the morning with prayer. So I like to start the day with a smudge and tobacco offering. So that's a gift, giving back. But it is also a reminder to myself as I'm setting my framework for the day that prayer begins with an acknowledgement of what I'm grateful for in my life. And that, you know, it starts with the breath in my body. I'm grateful for life in itself. And then once I've got that practice of acknowledging the gratitude I feel for all the gifts that I've been blessed with in my life, it helps me then have a framework for how I move about the day. And that's always trying to be in that place of respecting what others are offering to me, and then acknowledging that gift, expressing my gratitude, but also giving back. So there is, for me, a reciprocal nature of what comes from this culture of gratitude. It's not so much a sense of indebtedness as it is in reciprocity. It is we give and then we also receive. So it's an acknowledgement of that practice.
And Mary Jo, how do you practice gratitude?
Well, Chris, I use a practice called Three Good Things, and I'll describe the practice very briefly. Once a day, it could be in the morning or it could be in the evening before you go to bed, think of three things that you're grateful for, and it sometimes helps to write those things down. And then maybe once a week, go back and look at what you've written down and begin to notice the patterns that are showing up in your life. And this is a practice that I use, and there's actually a lot of research evidence that shows that a practice like Three Good Things or keeping a gratitude journal can really enhance our awareness of the positive things that are happening in our lives.
And Annie, how are you practicing gratitude?
I do the same thing as Mary Jo. I have been working on a gratitude journal. I actually think I've been in preparation for this conversation this morning. I got out my gratitude journals and I began right when the pandemic began, actually. So it's been, you know, about 18 months since I began this practice, and I do it every morning. I think the science generally recommends that you do it at the end of the day when the events of the day are fresh in your mind. But I think I'm a little lazy. And also at nighttime, I'm not a very prolific writer. And so my best thinking comes in the morning. And I think maybe like you, Diane, that morning time is really sacred for me. It's a time for prayer. It's a time for journaling, and I write those three things from the previous day of what I'm grateful for. And sometimes they're quite profound. It's a great conversation I had with a friend or my husband or my kids. And other times it's really small. It's like I had a really good cup of coffee, and I'm so grateful for that. So I like, Mary Jo, I like your idea of revisiting those three things on a regular basis too. Truly, in preparation for the conversation this morning, it's been hugely gratifying for me to reread my gratitude journal. So I'm grateful. That's very meta, right? I'm very grateful for my gratitude journal and the opportunity to revisit. I like that practice.
So I'm trying to picture this. So now when you look back in your journal, is it a sentence or two? Are you writing 3 or 4 pages? I mean, give us a picture of what a gratitude journal looks like.
Yeah,
for you,
my
obviously.
Gratitude journal. Yep. Sometimes it's long, but most of the time it's a couple sentences for each of my things. I'm reading something. I just flipped open a page randomly to August of last year, and I write about watching Harry Potter with my kids. I even wrote my doctor's appointment and that I didn't whine when it ran really late. No big deal. And I received good health care, period. A gift, period.
there you go.
Right? And I do think the intentionality of a gratitude journal, it slows you down. It forces you to be more intentional about all the things that are good, even in the harder moments. And obviously, this has been a really hard time for so many of us in the midst of this crazy pandemic. So I think a gratitude journal is really, really potent. and powerful to help tune us in to so much that we still have to be grateful for.
So let's go to the phones and bring our audience into this conversation. And let's go first to Peter in Minneapolis. And Peter, what is your observation?
Well, I just wanted to share with the audience that the first thought came to my mind was when I was 30 years old, I had a traumatic spinal injury, and I had a C1, was broken in four places, and I was like inches away from being a quadriplegic. And I went through all the things. I was in a halo for about, 9 months, and then another neck brace for a year. And it just occurred to me, how grateful I am that I made it through that. And every single morning, I'm just grateful for the sun coming up and the sunrise going down. And that's my religion, and tradition is I just greet the morning with the sunrise and the sunset, knowing that it could have been a lot different for me.
Well, that's beautiful. And Diane, what he's saying kind of reminds me of what you were talking about with, gardening and, being outside.
Yeah, I love that. The greet the morning with just acknowledging the gratitude we have just to be alive. And then each day is a gift. And that's, I think, where that culture of gratitude really, excuse me, that culture of gratitude means that we're expressing that appreciation for the gift of life every day. So thank you for sharing that story.
Let's go to Bob in North Oaks. And Bob, how does gratitude play in your life?
Well, it guides me. I mean, I called because I wanted to share that it's my belief that I'm a grateful person. I'm thankful for many things because of my upbringing. I give my parents credit for that and the society I've lived in. And we're grateful people by and large. And Thanksgiving is a time when we express that thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mary Jo, is this the kind of approach that you hear a lot?
Well, definitely, Chris. There's no doubt that gratitude can, up positive emotions. And so even having a lifetime growing up, as the caller described, can lead to kind of a overarching sense of gratitude in our lives. But I also want to comment on the first caller that talked about gratitude also helping to navigate difficult times in our life, because there's a lot of evidence that shows that's really true. And I think it's very interesting to read about the survivors, for example, of the Holocaust. When asked to tell their stories, most remember strong feelings of gratitude for food, shelter, clothing that was offered for them, the sense of thankfulness for small blessings that helped them maintain their humanity despite being part of a horrific tragedy. So many people, I think, that are going through difficult times report that when they practice gratitude, it decreases their distress.
And now let's go to Heidi in Mankato. And Heidi?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my call.
And what is your gratitude practice, or do you have a gratitude practice?
I have developed a gratitude practice over the past couple of years, where every night when I go to sleep, I think of three things during the day that I was really grateful for that put a great smile on my face. Simple things like an unexpected compliment, or someone helped me with my groceries, or if I talk to someone on the phone that I haven't talked to for a long time. And that's been really helpful during the pandemic. I'm single, I live alone, so I've felt a lot of disconnection with just having gone through the lockdown, and most of my work has gone online. So in having that gratitude practice, it also helped me connect a little bit more to myself and allowing myself more time to rest and not thinking that I needed to be out doing all these things.
Yeah.
And that I feel connected with just being present.
So this was all tied to the pandemic. You developed this gratitude practice during the pandemic itself.
I did. Yep. I'm so grateful for that because it really helped me to slow down in my work. You know, I also deal with some chronic pain issues, so it's been a win-win and helping resolve that a little bit as well.
Well, just one last question, because I'm curious, what was the inspiration or what led you to this practice of gratitude?
I think, having a sense of self-awareness. I've been through a lot of traumatic events in my life, and so sometimes I feel that I know that I have held on to a lot of anger, and releasing and having a gratitude practice, it's been really liberating and releasing a lot of that anger that I've held on throughout my life.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in. And Annie, I'll turn to you, and partly because she reminded me about writing things down.
Yeah, and Heidi, I'm grateful for your shared story. And I thought, like, you and me both starting our gratitude practice at the beginning of this pandemic. But, you know, Heidi was bringing up, you know, hard stuff, chronic pain, and the solitary nature of her world, perhaps in big stretches of this pandemic time. And all of that is, you know, that's so difficult, and it may seem counterintuitive to express gratitude for any of that. And yet, exactly as Heidi said, like, gratitude cultivates a sense of contentment and a sense of joy, not the other way around. Like, you don't wait for the good stuff to happen and then say thank you. Gratitude is this intentional practice. And in doing that, it brings in the good. What we found from the research about, like, where joy and contentment and the fulfilling life comes from, it's been sort of quantified. If you were to envision like a pie, which feels sort of appropriate right
very
now, right?
Much. So yeah, I'm already starting to think about that now. Now that you've triggered that, yes, go ahead.
Pick your pie and then visualize maybe big sections of it out that we say about 50% of the pie of the variance of our happiness comes from our genetics. Some of us are just genetically more predispositioned for happiness than our others. 10% seems to come from circumstances, you know, like I'll be really happy when I fill in the blank, have a great job, have a better house, have a cuter boyfriend, I don't know, whatever it is. But 40% of our happiness really comes from intentional activity. And that includes a gratitude practice. It includes the whatever discipline, whatever intentional behaviors you want to cultivate. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a gratitude journal. It could simply be, you know, Diane was talking about prayer. It could be saying grace. It could be a discipline to pray or to spend more time in nature, to awaken your senses, to savor the sensory experiences around you, which hopefully we'll all be doing tomorrow. But I do think that there's a lot to be said about gratitude taking a bit of work, that it being an intentional practice for us, because, you know, 40%, that's a big portion of that pie. I won't say it's free happiness, but it's happiness that's for the taking, you know, that we can cultivate and enjoy.
Yeah. And Heidi's call and the other calls, sparked a couple of questions. Diane, did you practice gratitude as a child? because Heidi was talking about, you know, it's the pandemic, and that has come up a couple of times. But I'm curious, did you do it as a child?
You know, I think that was, even if it wasn't specifically acknowledged as gratitude, I was raised by parents who instilled that practice in small ways, such as always saying grace before a meal, so that you are always you are acknowledging the gift of the food that we received. And so there were small ways in which that practice was instilled from the beginning. And it was interesting to me because my parents were Lutheran and Catholic and then raised us Presbyterian. So there was that spiritual quality that had to span different approaches to religion and spirituality, but that it also it's also connected to the same practice that I have found as a Dakota person, that this practice of always saying a prayer before you receive the gift of food, before you harvest, that it is fascinating to me that there are these connections between cultural practices that really connect us as a community.
And Mary Jo, what do we know about the science of practicing gratitude? I mean, is there evidence that it does have an impact on our, you know, our physical well-being?
Actually, Chris, it's fascinating how the research has really grown over the last decade. There are now gratitude scientists, and without a doubt, there's evidence that gratitude can help us psychologically, emotionally, physically, and also in terms of our relationships. There's, for example, research that shows that gratitude can reduce our stress, that boost our immune system, lower our blood pressure, decrease depression, help us feel more optimistic. So lots of evidence that gratitude can make a difference globally in our life.
So to the callers who are on the line, stay on the line. We're just going to be taking a brief break. And for those who think about giving us a call, do so. Tell us about your gratitude practice. Tell us about what you're grateful during this year, this hard year that we're living through. Will you celebrate the thanks and Thanksgiving or the giving? You know, give us a call at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. Now back to the conversation about gratitude. My guests today include Annie Pizzella, a professor of psychology at McAllister College in St. Paul, Diane Wilson, the author of the novel The Seed Keeper and several memoirs, and Mary Jo Kreitzner, the director of the Earl E. Bakken Center for Spirituality and Healing at the University of Minnesota and a professor at the School of Nursing. And let's just go right to the phones, and let's start off with David in Wheaton, Illinois. David, what is your experience?
Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I was tuned into KNOW this morning because I was thankful but also missing our daughter, who is a teacher up in St. Paul. And since we cannot have Thanksgiving with her with COVID restrictions and things of that sort this year, I was missing her, and I think it's more than happenstance that I was listening to the program that your specific program was talking about gratitude.
Yes. So, well, I'm glad you called in.
It was just last Thanksgiving that our daughter, who is a graduate from St. Olaf College, just there outside of the Twin Cities up there in Northfield, she shared the Thanksgiving address that the Native Americans share for all the gifts in the natural world. And I don't want to mispronounce it too much here. It's the Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving Address, which actually enumerates. It's very lengthy. It could actually take over 20 minutes if you do it very thoughtfully and prayerfully to give thanks for all the things that are found in nature that we take for granted, in water and all its forms, the clean air that we breathe, the animals and the plants, the medicinal herbs. It's a very, very thoughtful, very profound enumeration. And I thought I was a fairly grateful person before she shared this address with us last Thanksgiving or the Thanksgiving before that. And in years past, our Thanksgiving prayers might go on for maybe a couple of minutes, and that would seem like a long prayer. but it really, it almost, it, I guess the way I look at it in my mind is that people get involved with recreation in nature to find new energy to recharge the batteries. Another way to pronounce that would be recreation. And the address gave me the mental picture that we are being recreated with our animal brothers and sisters, our plant brothers and sisters. I'm not of a Native American heritage, but their perspective really opened up my view and really broadened my perspective on the many things that we often take for granted in the natural world that we, by all rights, should be giving thanks for each and every day, not just on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in with that. I really appreciate it. And say hi to your daughter for us. So hopefully at least you'll talk to her, even though you won't be together in person. So let's see. Let's go to Rosemary in St. Paul. Rosemary?
Good morning.
Yeah.
I was calling because being an African American woman living in the community, my son was killed about 6 years ago on his way to work, leaving my home. He came over for breakfast and, you know, somebody killed him as he got outside.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. And so what I had to do, because therapy really wasn't working for me, so what I had to do was begin to turn that around for myself. And so what I in the temple is, you know, I'm just grateful. I had him for 30-some years of my life. We did wonderful things. We went to Africa together. We just had a great life. And that was very healing for me. And I think with all this death we're experiencing, not just from the gun violence, but from the sickness and what have you, that there's ways that we can turn those experiences around and use, you know, what I'm saying?
So thank you very much for that's, I mean, it that's incredibly wise, and I think it's what a lot of us would like to do. It's hard to do, though. I mean, I imagine it must have been very hard for you.
Yeah, I still have hard days, but it helps a lot. So I, you know, recommend that people try and remember the good things and being grateful for those experiences.
So now I'd like to turn back to Annie, Diane, and Mary Jo, and just ask each of you out of those two calls to talk about or react to what you would like. And I'll just start out with you, Diane.
Oh, thank you. Boy, those were just two very poignant, touching stories that were shared with us. And with the first caller, I really appreciate the reference to the Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving address. And when you think about the just the significance and the amount of time and energy and intention that went into creating that dress, and to not only focus it on, you know, one day out of the year, but to really make that an intentional way of living so that you're in this relationship with plants and everything around you, water in particular, but you bring that sense of gratitude, that acknowledgement of the gift into your way of life. So as our caller acknowledged, when you do that, you continue to, I think the word he used was recreate, that same energy and relationship within yourself. So it is it's a tremendous gift that just continues on when we acknowledge it and receive it in that way and apply it to our everyday life. And for the second caller, I just want to acknowledge that the grace with which you have accepted such a hard loss of your son, and then to feel that appreciation for the life that he lived and the gift of those years with you, that to me is such a profound teaching about the way that we handle loss and we respond to trauma in our lives, whether it's a pandemic, it's a loss of someone we love, that the time that we have is a gift. And that even in times of great trauma, that there is something that we can find to be grateful for that helps soften that the harder aspects of that experience. So thank you to both callers.
Yeah. And Mary Jo?
Well, both callers, you know, had really powerful insights. Rosemary, that was such an amazing story. And it really reminded me of the famous quote by Viktor Frankl, "The last of one's freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance." And it sounds like you have so very intentionally chosen to pursue a path of gratitude. And that doesn't negate the loss, the sadness, the suffering that you've also experienced. So I think that was powerful. The first caller that talked about the Native American poem prayer reminded me of the connection between gratefulness, gratitude, and mindfulness. So I want to just say a couple things about that. Mindfulness is present moment awareness. And that might sound like a simple, basic thing, but actually being in the present moment is one of the hardest things. We live a lot of our life on autopilot and we automatically go through life. Sometimes we're focused on the past, sometimes the future, but cultivating the capacity to be in the present moment is actually an important and sometimes can be a very hard thing to do. And part of that is just noticing at any given moment how we are feeling, what emotions are arising. And I think that practice of mindfulness helps us then notice the positive things that are happening in our life, which then can help us cultivate that feeling of gratitude. So, you know, I really think one of the most important things for listeners to be thinking about is, while mindfulness can be a practice that you do, it's also a way of life, just like gratitude is a way of life.
And Annie?
Oh, I'm just sitting here nodding and agreeing with all of these things. Mary Jo and Diane's comments, I think, are right on. And I am similarly grateful for David and Rosemary for those stories that they shared. I'm thinking of Rosemary's story, and I'm also thinking of the story of the first caller who called in and to share his story of that traumatic spinal injury. And, you know, those things, a terrible injury like that, or the loss that Rosemary experienced, losing a loved one, I think it's difficult to imagine something harder, something worse. And so many of us, if we were to imagine that kind of trauma, we would think there's nothing worse. My life would be just so full of suffering. And yet what we know from the science of well-being is that actually we're pretty bad at predicting what will make us unhappy. And we're also pretty bad at predicting what's going to make us happy. You know, I think kind of the stereotypical example that's given about, you know, what would make your life amazing. You know, some people think, well, the lottery, if I won the lottery, then that'd be incredible. Nothing could bother me then. And yet the good stuff, the really bad stuff, that actually it doesn't seem to pan out the way that we think it will. And like Mary Jo and Diane were saying, the practice of gratitude, it is not this dopey practice of saying thank you and ignoring all the hard stuff. We can hold the hard stuff and still be thankful and practice gratitude. And that's what cultivates the thriving, joyful life. Not to diminish what's hard. I do think all of these stories, they are a testament to the human spirit that we can hold the hard stuff and be grateful.
So let's go to Dan in St. Paul. And Dan, what is your observation?
Yeah, so this has been a great conversation. I missed the first 20 minutes, so I'm sorry if I'm going to repeat some stuff. But, you know, when I was getting out of high school, it's a long time ago, I was pretty much a really angry, fractured, sharp, hot-tempered young man. And by the late 20s, I started to realize that all the people that had come into my life were really helping me shape the person who I was becoming. And I was pretty happy with who I was becoming. And I started to think about, you know, little conversations or little actions or things that people did for me that they didn't really have to do. And then I started to reach out to those folks. And often when I would find them or call them out of the blue, they usually didn't remember who I was. And I could recite some specific thing that they had done that kind of changed my thought about something and added to who I was becoming. And now I'm, you know, an older man. I'm actually a grandpa now. And I think about all those people, and, you know, Ram Dass once said that we're all just walking each other home. And I really come to believe that all of those events that really had an impact, whether it had an impact for the people who delivered it or not, didn't make a difference. It really, I'm grateful that they were in my life and they helped me to give a foundation for my kids. They're all, those people that are in my past are all actually part of the future in my kids. And I just thought that was, that's the way I approach it. And, you know, obviously I can't remember everybody, but it's interesting to think about the things that have happened that might have been happenstance or, you know, something you wouldn't expect, but really did make a difference.
And what was that? What was that expression again?
We're all just walking each other home.
Yeah, I like that. Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. And now let's go to Susan in Lakeville. And Susan, what is your experience?
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is a great conversation. I came across an expression or a saying years ago that said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I'm retired now, but about 15 years before I retired, I hated my job. I hated it. But I couldn't quit because I'm the primary breadwinner. And so I decided every day to focus on everything I liked about my job and to be grateful for that. And by the time I retired 15 years later, I loved my job.
So you didn't slam the door walking out?
No, no, I did not. I focused on the positive, and I was grateful for the things I liked, and I ended up loving my job.
Ah, well, thank you for calling in. And now I want to go to Barbara. Barbara, you're in Rosemont, I believe.
Yes. Hi, good morning. What I wanted to talk about is how my young children, who are 3, 6, and 11, they can be negative about school or pretty much anything. And because they were getting very negative, what I've started to do is what we call gratitudes at night. And so instead of prayers, we do gratitudes where they have to tell me 3 things that they're grateful for. And those things can be anything as big as I'm grateful to be alive, all the way to something as small as, you know, I'm grateful for this fuzzy blanket. And because my son, one of my sons has cerebral palsy, neuroplasticity is at the forefront of my mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to build those pathways in their brains to be grateful and to, instead of always focusing on the negative, but to focus on something positive.
And you find that it's working?
You know, it's slow going with kids, but
exactly. Yes.
It is. I do believe it's working because it used to be something that was very painful in getting them to do it. And now they just do it. It's just part of the nightly routine. And it's, you know, so I feel like just the act of them saying I am grateful is a good thing for them and a good skill to build in their lives.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling. And I think anybody with kids can appreciate your story. And now I want to go to, let's go to Ben in Minneapolis. And Ben, what are you grateful for?
Yeah, well, I'm grateful for a lot of things. My health, my family's health, you know, things like that. I think there's a lot to be grateful for, obviously. But one of the things I struggle with a little bit is this time of the year, I do have a partner who is part Native American, and some of the struggles, especially getting together over the holiday called Thanksgiving, is just with, you know, some family members that are very much, you know, wanting to do a traditional Thanksgiving in the American sense. And then, you know, really some of the things we all learned as children that were really, you know, not really the truth of what had occurred around this time of year.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, so the struggle between, you know, obviously accepting that we all have a lot of things to be grateful for, but, you know, realistically looking at the Indigenous genocide that had happened over this, you know, over the kind of the holiday that's become a tradition for so many, so many people, and really the struggle between how to balance, you know, those two, kind of, philosophies or thoughts on the holiday.
And how do you, or how does the family?
You know, my partner is new to the family, so that, you know, has just kind of begun a little bit.
Okay.
My extended family normally gets together, and, you know, my partner really doesn't like to sit down to a traditional turkey Thanksgiving. And so actually just kind of working through that right now, trying to figure that out.
Okay.
But you know, there's a lot of things that we can do to, you know, kind of embrace the indigenous cultures. And you know, I think a lot of people are doing some fasting. There's kind of a movement going out there you can see on social media today. And, you know, it's kind of, I guess we haven't totally figured it out yet.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, and a lot of us are trying to figure this out. So thanks so much for calling it in. And you will, you know, you will come up with, I am confident, you'll come up with a way of, you know, of coming with a way to celebrate the way that works for your family. So we've just had four really wonderful calls. And I'm going to start with you, Diane, in terms of what you would like to react to, what you're taking away.
thank you. I'm going to respond to the last caller.
Sure.
And I apologize. I get so caught up in listening to the story. I don't always catch the names, which is
it was Ben.
Part of my ongoing. This is Ben.
This is Ben. Yes.
Did you say?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So Ben, thank you for bringing that up. And I have to admit that even it was something I thought about in participating in this program. But what I appreciated about this program was that it wasn't so focused on the holiday of Thanksgiving, which is it is problematic because of the very deep traumatic history between Native people and non-Natives, and that it so often does get just overlooked as part of the holiday. But the fact that we were focusing on gratitude today, and that's a practice that is so deeply rooted in Indigenous cultures, and that it's so important to me that teaching
mm-hmm.
be extended out to a broader audience, that this culture of gratitude, this the way in which we accept the gifts that we're given in our life, it also comes with a responsibility to me, and that we have to also take care of what we're given, so that if, you know, this is a holiday that has so much focus on food, but what is our relationship to the food that we're given? What's our relationship to plants and soil and water? And so what I've chosen to do in my own family is to focus on those teachings, to look at the ways in which we do practice in a culture of gratitude, and that I also appreciate the way that the holiday has become an opportunity for people to also help others, that there's numerous opportunities for volunteering, for giving back, for extending that culture of gratitude into a relationship of reciprocity. And so thank you, Ben, for bringing up that question. And I do wish you all the best in figuring this out, because it's complicated in families. So thank you.
And Diane? Annie? I'm sorry, Annie?
Sure. I was just had a big smile on my face when Dan was calling in and talking about his decision to reach out to all those people who helped shape his life, and that he feels there's been this delightful spillover from maybe his kids to maybe even his grandkids now, and feeling this great sense of connection that the people that touched his life have impacted in a really positive way his kids and grandkids. And what I thought was, Dan has written gratitude letters. That's essentially it. I mean, and it doesn't matter what you call them, but what we know from positive psychology is that a gratitude letter, a letter that is specific, and Dan was saying that he remembered specific things that those people did in his life, that perhaps at the time he didn't adequately thank them, but he felt compelled to do so in writing. That is a really powerful exercise. And we found that as far as positive psychology interventions go, and usually they require some kind of gratitude practice, that gratitude letter has this incredibly long-lasting positive buzz that participants report feeling months after they've done it. And it's also been disclosed that the people who receive those gratitude letters, it's one of the more profound experiences of their life. So I love that we're having this conversation today and that this is a season where we can be more intentional about gratitude. And maybe tomorrow we can write a gratitude letter. Maybe we can even write something that we share around the table with one another. Could be quite profound.
Yes. And Mary Jo?
Well, I'll comment, Chris, on the other two callers. So Barb, the practice that she's doing of having her kids think of things they're grateful for in the evening before they go to bed, what she's doing is nudging them. And there's a lot of research that shows that if we nudge people, they begin to notice things. In this case, I bet her kids start noticing throughout the day what they're grateful for because they know that at the end of the day, their mom is going to ask them to reflect on what they were grateful for. So when we want to change a behavior, there's a lot of evidence that doing just what Barb is doing by offering nudges can be really helpful. The other caller, Susan, talked about her job. And I want to just remind callers, listeners today, that we can also introduce gratitude practices in the workplace. And so at the Bakken Center for Spirituality and Healing, our communications director actually introduced the practice of a Monday kudos letter that goes out to all of the staff and faculty that are part of the center. And he invites people during the week to identify and send him what they're grateful for that a colleague has done. And it's beautiful because sometimes it'll be a really simple thing. Sometimes it'll be a profound thing. But we know that on Monday morning, there'll be an email that will reflect the kudos from the previous week, what we're grateful for with each other.
Well, thank you very much. This has been a wonderful conversation. We've covered a lot of ground. I really want to thank our listeners who called in with their stories about gratitude. And I just have to say I am grateful for all of our listeners. And so our time is up, and I want to thank our guests. Annie Pizzella is professor of psychology at McAllister College in St. Paul. Diane Wilson is the author of the novel The Seed Keeper. And Mary Jo Kreitzer is the director of the Earl E. Bakken Center for Spirituality and Healing at the University of Minnesota. And thanks to each of you. I hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And for everyone else, be safe, enjoy the holiday, and she'll be back on Monday at 9.
Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder, if you want to catch the show in real time, tune in and call in at a new time, 9 a.m. weekdays on NPR News.